FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 7/10/20. And when you look at the election landscape, you look at the political landscape, you look at any landscape other than the golf course around the corner from me, and it's kind of frightening. And what have we got to look forward to here? I'd like to know your opinion. Why don't you send me an email to kl@kerrylutz.com. In the meantime, while we're talking about landscaping, we'll get James Herson into the show here. I know you have good landscaping there in California. It's a pretty state, even if it's pretty scary at this point. And it's great to have you back. You find him at jamesherson.com, H-I-R-S-E-N. James, so, hey, the People's Republic of California is going more and more down the rat hole every time you look.
Oh, there's no question. And of course, we have the strange ruling. Chairman Newsom, who has abandoned any kind of scientific principles and now selectively closes businesses, leading the ones that he owns open.
Like vineyards, and, right?
Yeah, like his vineyard. And he put in mandatory mask rules. He allowed the churches to reopen with a reduced percentage of worship and the social distancing and the masks and all that stuff. But then he issued an order banning singing. And I thought this was very striking.
That
because,
was weird.
This is the same guy who said, hey, these people that are out there looting and burning and beating people up, destroying people's homes and properties and businesses, they're expressing themselves. Let them go out and express themselves, over their perceived, the wrongs to their races, et cetera. This is the same guy. And what do these people do? They go out and demonstrate and they chant. They don't social distance. Many times they don't wear masks. And the mask police or any police, nobody shows up. And so we have a situation. This isn't, of course, unique to Newsom, but a lot of people who are just watching their TVs or their devices and saying, what am I doing? Am I watching fiction? I'm watching America, where criminals are just being allowed carte blanche. They're being allowed to destroy citizens of America. There's no police to prevent the crime or arrest the people. There's no fire department to put out the fires. They just let it burn. And so the focus, a lot of people, as reporting emerges and people listen to alternative podcasts like yours, Kerry, they find out that, hey, you know what? BLM, the organization, and Antifa, the organization, have roots that trace back to the 60s and even beyond to Marxism. And they really do believe, as Ilhan Omar, our purported congresswoman, said, they believe in the takedown of the United States of America, the government, the system, the economic infrastructure, everything, and building a new utopian communist society. Now, they find that out, and they start to think that these people dressed in black and wearing bandanas are really evil. And they're right, but they're not the main culprits, because these are just amateur thugs in the case of most of them. And there's any kind of police work or resistance, they immediately melt away like Chop Chaz did when the Seattle police moved in. The real bad guys are the blue state governors who didn't send out the National Guard like Governor Kemp in Georgia just did, and the blue city, Democrat city mayors who allowed even police precinct centers to be taken over, allowed government property to be destroyed, allowed private businesses that were struggling to be destroyed. And in the case of my state, Governor, or should we call, I call him Chairman Newsom, he basically encouraged the kind of burning and looting he cheerleaded it. Took place on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills.
I know.
It took place in Santa Monica, on Santa Monica Boulevard, Wilshire Boulevard, and in the Santa Monica Mall, outdoor mall. And these are some of the most prestigious retail locations in America. And people were literally running down the street with designer purses and designer dresses. And all of a sudden, Craigslist filled with these things for sale. And it was criminality on display. So the real culpable evil, it resides in these people. I mean, Governor Inslee of Washington is the personification of evil. This is a guy who pretended to reporters that he was unaware
that
six blocks of the largest city in his state had been declared an autonomous zone, a new country, Chaschop, and his pretense ended up killing people, innocent people.
And he laughed about it. He laughed.
He laughed. And Pickle Durkin, the mayor, she called it a summer of love and just refused to allow a good police department, the Seattle Police Department, who could have cleaned that up in the matter of 30 minutes. She made them stay away. And we saw this kind of pattern all over. Of course, Comrade de Blasio did that.
Oh, yeah.
In New York City. And so this is, and people who are watching, and by the way, these beatings that took place, it's not just, you know, YouTube is filled with thugs who sucker punch vulnerable people. They think it's real funny. But this is a thing where you had a literal mob coming in on a person and then a sucker punch. And then when the person is either knocked out or on the ground, hitting them with bats, skateboards, yeah. There are people who died. It's almost unreported. There are people who have had severe brain damage. There are people who will never be the same. They're disabled from these beatings. And when Americans watch that, and Americans watch this couple in St. Louis who defended their home by brandishing firearms, as the Second Amendment allows us to do, never having to fire a shot, thank God. But what does that, what message is sent? Well, it's a message of fear. And corporate America has responded to the message of fear, saying, please leave us alone. Here's money. Here's lots of money, BLM and Antifa. And so they join the ranks of George Soros's funded organizations and make this terrorist organization, BLM, richer. And really, the corporate media in the form of the entertainment and so-called news media, including Fox News, showed this phony respect to basically mainstream this domestic terror organization. Yeah. So these are the real bad guys. In other words, so what do Americans have to do? They've got to take back their cities and states. They've got to vote out these people. And secondly, they've got to take back the media. They've got to shut it off. And Fox News, with the exception of some of the primetime hosts, is right there. And President has tweeted about it. Fox News is gone. It's gone the way of Drudge. People don't realize what Drudge used to be and what it is. It's not the same. And so and we have a media assault, and our high tech companies are trying basically to censor out every voice that doesn't fit with their idiotic far left agenda. So But, you know, the thing is, the internet is so powerful and so ubiquitous and so easy to enter that they can't stop the truth. A good example is there's a Reddit, R-E-D-D-I-T-T,
sure,
is board. A site. It's kind of a board. It's an early social media concept. And they have what are called subreddits. And one of the most popular one was called the Donald.
Yeah, the most popular.
And yeah, I think it was. Yes. And the Donald was on Reddit. You know, of course, Reddit is known for edgier posts on all their posts, or it used to be. Anyway, Reddit went on a persecution campaign and ultimately banned the Donald. But the Donald has people in it who are so adept at technology, they could smell it coming, and they set up their own site modeled after a board.
Right.
And it's flourishing.
Isn't it Donald.win, I think it is?
That's it. Oh, you're like really, so you're a peed. You know, so to me, and, you know, but I find that that's a parable almost of what people who oppose the establishment media have to do. And they just have to keep moving around. Now, so now we have, it's very obviously Jeb Dorsey, and I'm a very active social media person. So I have constant jousts on Twitter and Facebook constantly. And I'm not subtle because I'm at a point in my life where I don't have to answer to people and I don't care. And I do business, believe it or not, with the entertainment industry. But I've been out of the box for so long. I've been in public, you know, I've been appearing on TV and radio shows like yours, and they all know me. So the people in Hollywood who don't want to work with me have already gotten rid of me. And, you know, for years, because I was involved with this, what used to be a secret organization in Hollywood of conservatives. Right. And so the only people, and I don't want to work with them anyway. I find them despicable. Most of them lead lifestyles that are just disgusting. And I don't want to condone that. I'm a family person. I'm a religious person. So I find them, for the most part, to be despicable. And so I thankfully am at a point in my life where I pick and choose. And to me, you know, I'm not enough of a public figure where I have to worry about it. But I know that the people who are out there who are still able to speak truth. And I give a shout out. Tucker Carlson is a guy who, frankly, even though I know his contract's gone through the roof because his next negotiation is going to be big money because he's the highest rated show on cable.
Sure.
He clearly doesn't give an excrement.
Yeah.
He clearly doesn't care because he grew up in a family where his father worked for ABC News and then PBS. He was a wunderkind appearing on CNN when he was a teenager. He's been around. He's seen how fleeting the media business is. And Fox News management is hostile to him. But he's just taken the approach that he doesn't care. He's going to tell the truth. And he does. I mean, he does. Sometimes I wish he wouldn't, because he'll say stuff about the president that I don't want said, because I consider this upcoming election so existential for the future of America. But that being said, he'll say things that are very Trump-like. In other words, just brutal truth. And of course, there's
truth
been an bombs. Effort to try to get him off the air by typical Media Matters type techniques, going after sponsors and all that stuff. But that's the kind of thing, to me, it's inspiring. And you had asked me before we went on the air, what do I think that is going to happen in the upcoming election? Turns out we both feel the same way. I think Trump will win in a landslide. I think there will be immense cheating going on because there already is.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I'm a little worried about the House because, for example, we have a half a dozen seats up for grabs in California. And, you know, we just had a special election in the Los Angeles area where overwhelming Democratic registration, and they elected the Republican in a special election. It was a shocker. And they did it by a margin that was so big that they couldn't ballot harvest. Well, they did, but they couldn't get enough cheating.
That's key.
What I think is going to happen nationally. But I'm very concerned because in California, they did already push through the mail-in cheating. And so I'm hoping that Republicans are going to have be ready to respond, because ballot harvesting doesn't even describe the kind of mass cheating. Yes,
pure
it is.
Fraud.
And they want that nationally.
I know.
And so I'm worried about the House, but I think what's more critical than the House even is keeping the Senate, keeping the presidency. Hopefully, even if they win the House, their numbers are going to be so bad that let's say that Pelosi's still the Speaker, the Blue Dogs will just keep her from getting anything, and that there might be a coalition where they can pass meaningful legislation and oppose her. But it's going to be, you know, for example, there are districts for Dana Rohrabacher, long time solid conservative, was shell-shocked by an unknown, really, who was well-funded with all kinds of out-of-state Democrat money. But the key, Dana was one of those elections where when you went to bed, he won. And he woke up the next morning and he lost.
They're masters at that.
Yes. And that was the ballot harvesting. And now that guy, his name is Rudy, has a very formidable, establishment Republican candidate, well-funded. And under any normal political analysis, the Democrats going down in that district. But the mail-in voting is what.
Well, it works both ways. Works both ways.
I hope so.
Unfortunately, I've said I don't know if Trump really won the last time or whether it was the battle of the election riggers. Because I don't believe any of the numbers, just like I don't believe the COVID-19 numbers, the deaths I don't believe, the number of new cases I don't believe. The only things that you can believe really are the hospitalizations, and even those you don't really know if they're being hospitalized just for COVID-19 or if it's one of a number of maladies that they're suffering from. Well, you and I were both early last time saying that Trump was going to win. And we were spot on. And I think he's going to win this time for no other reason than go back to Nixon in 68 and the silent majority, right? The silent majority put Nixon over the threshold because they were fed up with civil unrest, fed up with their elected officials sitting around doing absolutely nothing. You know, it's no different here than what happened in Newark, in Detroit, and in many other cities in the 60s. Philadelphia, we had racial unrest. We had mayors and governors that were completely ineffective in putting these riots down. They weren't necessarily participants back then, but they were completely ineffectual and they didn't know what to do. And even in New York City, it happened. And the decline of New York City with Comrade de Blasio there is just gut-wrenching and shocking. I don't know how anyone could want to live in that city anymore.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
To all you FSN community members out there, I want to share with you a program that I just signed up for and love, and I believe it has tremendous upside potential, and that is the Forex Smart Trade Currency Trading Program. Forex Smart Trade teaches currency trading using their proprietary indicators. These indicators are easy to read and tremendously accurate, almost 90% accurate. Yes, I know that sounds too good to be true. Well, you don't have to take their word for it. Forex Smart Trade is offering a promotion right now to my listeners, whereby you can try their training and proprietary indicators for just $10 for 30 days. That's right, only $10 for their 30-day introductory trial, where you'll have access to live trade webinars and one-on-one personal instruction. It's a terrific value. The currency market hasn't taken the beating that the stock market has, so you need to learn about it and try it. Go to www.forex.com. F-O-R-E-X, smarttrade.com/Lutz. Get yourself set up now. Again, that's www.forexsmarttrade.com/Lutz. I promise you, it'll be the best $10 you've spent so far this year.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Yeah, you brought up New York City, and that's actually how I started my most recent article, because in a smaller way, in a microcosm, there was a guy who was a mayor in the early 90s, David Dinkins.
Yeah, and de Blasio was his protege, so he's really outdone his master.
And even the New York Times at the time said there was a sense of chaos in New York. People did not feel safe.
Not at all.
And in a city that was a Democrat stronghold, a U.S. attorney who worked for Ronald Reagan, who was known as a tough on crime kind of guy.
I know it.
It was Rudy Giuliani. And I tell you, this is one guy I've had the good fortune where I've actually had a meal with Rudy. It's a fairly long time ago when he was running for president. You know, it's so funny, but people talk about your initial reaction to someone. Sometimes there's a transcendent kind of an intuitive feeling about people when you look in their eyes. Years and years ago, I met John McCain. I had the creepiest feeling about him. And it turned out to be right. And he was there was a phony persona. John McCain was partially drunk and he was telling really inappropriate jokes at this was actually an event where a guy named Phil Graham, senator from Texas, was running for president. And John, this is a young John McCain when he was the favorite of the media. He was actually Phil Graham's campaign manager at the time.
I had no idea.
That's the only time I met him, but I went home and told my wife, this guy, I do not want anything to do with him, you know. I turned out to be right about John McCain. Well, Rudy, I was at an event and I actually had a lunch with him. And he sat right across the table and I could look in his eyes. We were talking baseball. Mm-hmm. But there's just something about, you know, Rudy's exactly the same in private as in public. He's this, you know, America's mayor, everybody's uncle, just a real straight shooter, just a real genuine kind of a person.
Right. I know.
I don't agree with all of his politics and never did, but the guy, you know, is a champ. And the people in New York ended up reelecting him because he cleaned up the street. And to me, that dynamic that took place in 1993 with Rudy, I believe is going to be the impetus of where we're going to see a landslide victory for Donald Trump. And the polls that were off in 2016 are just almost impossible to be accurate now. I mean, there's a thing called a confounding variable in statistics and in polling. And here in California, we had an African-American mayor of Los Angeles named Tom Bradley run for governor.
Yes.
And they dubbed it the Bradley effect. And what the Bradley effect was when a pollster would call a person, they felt compelled to say they were for Bradley, because if they were against Bradley, they were kind of a racist. And so it was a motivation other than just choosing the binary choice between A and B. Well, we got two Bradley effects going when Trump is polled, maybe three, you know, because you have now this overwhelming umbrella of, if you don't believe this, you're a racist. If you don't support the organization Black Lives Matter, you or your organization or your corporation are racist. So we see so much of this taking a knee to BLM. So somebody calls up and says, what's your choice between these two in the presidential election? That's an overriding factor. And of course, the Democrat Party, which really should be abolished because it was for slavery, but the Democrat Party is deemed as the safe one to say, oh, I'm for the Democrat, I'm not a racist. And then you add to that the overwhelming consensus factor that average Joe Blow turns on ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, they read New York Times, Washington Globe, Washington Post, Boston Globe, anything. And all they see is Trump hatred everywhere. And they say, well, yeah, I don't want to be for this guy. And then there's the fear factor. So I just mentioned what I mentioned, four confounding variables. Yeah. Because now you notice, anecdotally, you drive on any street, you don't see Trump signs, you don't see Trump bumper stickers, you don't see people wearing Trump regalia. And if they show up in an urban area, they get beaten. So people are afraid to say. As a matter of fact, anecdotally in my life, I know a lot of people, they whisper, I'm for Trump.
Yeah, I do. Hey,
and so when the pollster calls, no way.
Well, the other thing is, you don't really know it's a pollster. You don't know who you're giving your information to. It might be a push poll or something else. Your database record will get upgraded or designated as a Trump supporter, and then you're in a world of hurt. So nobody's talking to anybody because also they're afraid of the deep state and technology being used and turned against them. Anyway, James, we got to run right now. But just tell us, where is the best place to find you these days?
You can find me on Twitter if you look for The Jim Jams. And you can find me on the internet at JamesHirsen.com. And I'm also on Facebook and other parts of the social media, fighting the fight.
All right.
The way, I have nothing, zero to sell. Nothing.
Okay, me neither. Hey, and send us an email what you think about what James had to say. Are you answering pollsters' questions, or are you engaging in what I call lie to your pollster? And we're getting close to October, which is officially kicks off Lie to Your Pollster Month. Don't tell them the truth, because when you lie to them, then they get it wrong and they no longer become newsworthy. Email us, kl@carrylutz.com. And the main website is financialsurvivalnetwork.com. James, always a pleasure. Hey, we'll talk to you soon and we'll see how it's going.
All right. Sounds good, Kerry. Thanks a lot.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.